You know, in life, Winston Churchill was bigger than life. And that's probably why writers and actors have always been drawn to him.
I feared it would be my hard lot to announce the greatest military disaster.
Famous have been the reigns of our queens. Some of the greatest periods in our history.
Compared to, say, Louis B. Mayer. How's he doing?
War with Germany will come, and we will need a king whom we can all stand behind.
We stand at a crossroads, Doctor, quite alone.
Well, screenwriter Anthony McCarten felt like he had something to add here, and he enlisted actor Gary Oldman to bring Winston Churchill to life. This film is about the soaring speeches and also the quiet moments, like here, where Churchill negotiates with King George VI.
I believe we are to meet regularly.
Once a week, I'm afraid. How are you for Mondays?
I shall endeavor to be available on Mondays.
4 o'clock?
I nap at four.
Is that permissible?
No, but necessary. I work late.
Darkest Hour is in wide release today. It takes you away from the battlefields of World War II to Britain and to the offices, the dilemmas, and the doubts of Winston Churchill. I sat down with screenwriter Anthony McCarten and asked what drew him to Winston Churchill.
I wanted to do a portrait in leadership and also a study in the power of the word. At the center of this movie is a proposition that words matter, that they count, and in fact can be enlisted to change the world. And in Winston Churchill, we have the embodiment of that proposition. He was a guy who by the end of his life had written and published more words than Charles Dickens and Shakespeare combined. And in fact, three of the real doozies that Winston wrote and delivered were done within 4 weeks of each other. That was the essence of the start of the movie, to look at those 4 weeks and ask, why did he write them? How did he write them? Where did he write them? What forces were really pressing on him? To inspire this incredible outburst of rhetoric.
There's a division here between the historical record, the transcripts of what Winston Churchill said in the halls of Parliament, that's all real, and then your own sort of artistic license in putting words in his mouth. And there's both of those things in this film that you kind of mesh together.
Yeah. The big revelation for me diving into the research was how uncertain he was. And on the critical issue of whether to do a peace deal with Adolf Hitler or not, which was the issue. And history doesn't really record how close the world came to Winston caving into domestic pressure from his colleagues to sign a peace deal with Adolf Hitler that would, with the flourish of that pen, have consigned Europe to Nazi domination in perpetuity. It would have meant a quasi-peace deal with Germany that in reality would have meant the Germans taking a power position in Britain itself. It's unthinkable now, but it was a hair's breadth from happening. And the person that stopped it happening was Winston Churchill. And we almost can calculate the minute and the hour in which he switched and decided, you know what, we're going to fight.
Hitler will not insist on outrageous terms. He will know his own weaknesses. He will be reasonable.
When will the lesson be learned? When will the lesson be learned? How many more dictators must be wooed, appeased, good God, given him mixed privileges, before we learn? You cannot reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth!
Churchill always projected this image of steadfast defense of the island, defense of the realm. We shall fight. We shall fight. There was a time where if he was projecting that publicly, he didn't really believe it.
He didn't really believe it. And that was the great revelation to me. And I think if there is news that this movie breaks, it's that, yes, he was uncertain. He changed his position not only by the day but by the hour. And rather than diminish him, however, I think he becomes more interesting and more considerable, because for me, a leader who is capable of changing their mind is exactly the kind of leaders we need.
We've been busy in film for the last few years humanizing icons. I think. Steven Spielberg did Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis that did that to some degree. There's an LBJ movie out now from Rob Reiner. I'm a big LBJ fan, and he did that with Woody Harrelson. Your film, certainly The Crown on Netflix, does this with Queen Elizabeth II, and Winston Churchill, John Lithgow in this case, plays an enormous part in that story. These stories are popular. We're trying to lift the armor on our icons a little bit.
There's something going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
And possibly it is a sort of universal need to look back to the past for the qualities of leadership that have guided us through our most perilous hours, and saying, are those qualities visible today? And if not, can somehow they be, you know, revived? And one of the truly great qualities of Winston, apart from his ability to think that he might be wrong, and he was often wrong, let's face it, was his candor. He was a guy who was almost incapable of lying. And he would get himself in enormous trouble. You know, you could imagine his spin doctors in those days just putting their faces over their hands going, oh my God, you can't say that, Winston. It got him thrown out of power. As soon as he declared victory at the end of the war, they threw him out because he delivered more bad news. But he couldn't stop himself being honest.
This is a war film without the war. Mm. This is a World War II film without a shot being fired, without a bomb dropping.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a specter surrounding this entire film. And what you've tried to do here is reflect the terror and the tragedy of war without any of the visuals, without any of the real sort of Saving Private Ryan confrontations that we're used to.
Correct, yeah. Now, we use maps a lot. We use pins and maps to signify those armies and the dead and the casualties and the numbers are coming in. And in those days, they had no visual connection to the front. So the people making the decisions on life and death of these soldiers, sometimes in their hundreds, sometimes in their thousands or tens of thousands, were done by looking at maps and pins on maps. But then you have to see the cost on those people who made the decisions when they get it wrong. And we look at the psychological impact of war on those people making those decisions.
Anthony, you said at the top of our interview that this is a story about the power of words, about oratory, and how great thinking and great words can move nations. Mm. Listeners inevitably are going to think about the current leadership in this country. They're going to think about President Trump and the way he uses words. And I'm positive you've thought about it too.
Sure. Yes, I have. We have to protect the power of words. We have to not use words in a way that are that demean them or diminish them, especially when they come from a leader. There's something of a climate where something is said one day and that statement is walked back the next day. This is not a British phrase that I'm used to, but I hear it a lot over here. Oh, yeah, I know what he said yesterday, but he walked it back.
He walked it back. It's all right.
He walked it back today. And this, I've never heard of this phrase before, but it slightly gives me some alarm.
Well, it's enormously euphemistic, isn't it? Walked it back as though there's space to completely reverse yourself and say the opposite the next day.
And might it not have been better to have waited a day and made a statement that you don't have to walk back? Certainly that would be what I would hope for in any leader that represented me, is not, you know, seat of the pants talking that you disavow in the next moment, but considered words. Weighted words, words that will galvanize in all our souls a desire to come together. And that's what great oratory does. It forges ties between people with huge differences. And suddenly everyone is a family. And it's happened through history. And that's one of the unique things that leaders, we hope, can provide us with.
The oratory and the words of Sir Winston Churchill at the dawn of World War II, conveyed through Gary Oldman in the new film Darkest Hour and through the pen of Anthony McCartan, who's the screenwriter. Thank you so much for being here.
Terrific. Thank you, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.